And by the will of God, we're here again as a family of God to fellowship together. And we thank the Lord. We're fellowshipping in health, in peace. Oh Lord, I wish I could sing in Yoruba, but I could, I can't, because I won't get to heaven if I sing in Yoruba. And the Lord will give me a voice. Okay, when I get to heaven. Yes. And you too. But there's a song in Yoruba that I interpret. It says, Iji, Iji fe, whatever. Yara song. Ategun fe. Ijija kogbe wa lo. Oh yeah, ka dupe. It loosely translates grammar as we ought to praise the Lord. We've been through the thunder, the storm, the snowstorm, all kinds. But guess what? We're here. And we bless the Lord for it. Lord, this is the house of your praise, and we thank you for accepting our praises, praise since morning. We're grateful. We acknowledge your strength that courses within our bones. You have kept our feet from trap, our hearts from error, not because of anything that we have done, but for your sake. As long as you put breath within us, Father, we will praise you with all that we have. We give you glory. We acknowledge that you are God, you are El Shaddai, you are Adonai. Father, we bless you. We are not gathered there unto ourselves. We are gathered that we may render our tongues, our feet in dancing, that we may bring a sacrifice of praise unto you. And for this, we are infinitely grateful. Lord, in the few minutes that we have, Holy Spirit, everything that's going to be done that will amount to anything will be done by you. Please teach us. Please bring things into our remembrance, whatsoever you want us to know to prepare us for this week. Bless us today, O Lord. Let our gathering not be in vain. Let your name be glorified. Accept our thanksgiving and our worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister Jackie, we greet you. Mon ami. Folake, hi. Folake Adeniyi Aburo, how are you? How is Kemi? We greet you. Bra Peter Abejide, well done. Thank you. Bra Kunle, how are you? I share you strong body. Sister Shade, the Lord is your strength. Welcome back. We love you. Thank you. John, how are you doing? Hope you had a great week. Anyway, we just greet all of you. May the Lord bless you. Today, by the grace of God, I want to, I need my phone. I want us to cast our mind on the times that we're in. The title of the message today is actually the Watchman's Message. We're people of the Spirit and people of the times. And we have a sense of what is going on around us. Christianity is not lived in a vacuum. It has pleased the Lord that we live our Christian walk in the context of our time. So for different times, the challenges are different. But for all times, Jesus is the victor. That's why the Bible says, behold, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. That's why we name our children Jesu Tofumi. Jesus is enough for us in all circumstances and at all times. And we'll be remiss if we do not point out that we live in dangerous times. Please, if you don't sense it, I want you to begin to sense it. These are not normal times. We've been congregating like this since 1990, in this particular place since either 2000 or 99, if I'm correct. We moved in 99. Am I correct? Yes. From 99 till now, something has changed. And Jesus, standing in the midst of Palestine to his disciples, he said, can you not discern the times? A week ago, they predicted that it will rain today. And behold, it's raining. At least I saw sprinkles of rain. So if the people of the world can predict rain and storms, summer and winter, can you not discern the signs of times? Can we not discern that the things that Jesus said, they are coming to pass? Nations are rising up against nations. The Bible says, because iniquity will increase, then the love of most towards God will wax cold. Can you not discern that the fervency of old is no longer there? Can you discern, my brothers and sisters, the decline around you? The evangelism revivals is no longer as it used to be. I have very close associations. So I'm good friends with people who are in full-time ministry for a long time. So I'm very familiar with missions. And even your missionary friends will tell you things are not the same. Itunu, true of us. You've heard that story over and over again from your dad, I'm sure. Things have changed. The enabling environments, as if the Lord has removed it, just as he said that in the last days I will do that. Can you sense that? Can we carry on the party as though nothing has changed? Will we not discern so that we apply the right medicine to the right situation? Can we put new wine in old wineskin? Shall we use the anointing of yesterday for today's battle? Brethren, what do you sense? Parabomi, what do you sense? Is the faith, the communion of the Spirit, the fellowship, when you were in high school, well, you weren't even born again. You were a crook when you were in high school. But now, Parabomi, thank God, you tell the story of your college days. Do you see the communion on campuses as the same as when you were there? When young men and women were filled in abundance to the Holy Spirit and they turned the campuses upside down. I wasn't born again then, but I knew that Christians disturbed us. They gave us no peace. They gave our consciences no rest. The topic for today is the message of the watchman. I appeal to you that let's not carry on as normal. Let's summon courage. Let's seek the face of the Lord that we're equipped for the battle of our generation. The message of a watchman is always a message of a warning. Watchmen are always lonely. Their messages are never palatable. Open your Bibles quickly to the book of Ezekiel 33 that we just read today. Someone should please read from verse 1 to 8 again. Then another person, please open to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, and read. We'll read from verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel 33, verse 8. In the times of our Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was a watchman saying, beware, repent, 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 for the kingdom of God is at hand. Is there anybody that finds Ezekiel 33?
Verse 8.
Verse 1 to 8.
On to it.
Real quick.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, for his blood I will require at your hand.
Before you read the Habakkuk, I want someone else to first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and read verse 8 for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. Is it 9?
For if the trumpets give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
Thank you. Then Habakkuk 2, verse 1 and 2. Whoever is there, so please quickly read.
I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what it will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it.
Do you see this pattern? In the time of danger is the job of the watchman to sound the trumpet. 1 Corinthians 14 says, if the trumpet is not clearly sounded, if it's ambiguous in its messaging, if it's not focused on the danger, then who is going to prepare for battle? Habakkuk said, behold, I'm a watchman. I will stand upon that rampart and watch. And Jesus, the Lord, said to him, then take the vision, write it, and make it clear so that those that receive it may run. The way we interpret it is that those that receive it may run with the vision. We always use it as a business, write your vision by age 33. I'm going to be a millionaire. Make it clear. I'm going to buy 14 cars. That's not what the Bible is talking about. The Lord was about to give the watchman Habakkuk a vision of the danger that was to come upon the land. And the Lord is saying, write it clearly. Let this vision be clear so that those that see it, they will run. We used to have a lot of watchmen then. Actually, in the Old Testament, you will find the majority of the Old Testament is about warning. Beware. So that the people will not slip into sin, that the blessings of the Lord may abide upon the land. We are watchmen. All of us, we are this generation's watchmen. We should be ready. We should be very clear about what Jesus represents. Because at times we are watchmen that are sleeping, and our message, we are sending mixed messages. The world ought to see us and know what we stand for. If not, the Lord will require the blood of this generation from the hands of believers who know the truth about sin, about judgment, about condemnation, about hell. And we feel these things are too crude to warn our people about. And instead, we do fancy messaging. We are all watchmen. In the places where God has put us, in the shops where you sell, in your family. Jesus said, we are lights in darkness. Someone should please read from James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. In your community, in your social group, we are watchmen. Because there's a sort of judgment upon the world as we sit. We cannot keep fundraising and building churches. We cannot keep doing celebrations and partying. We cannot keep chasing cars and houses. We cannot keep chasing the vanity of the world when the message of life and the hope of eternity is in our bosom. We cannot keep organizing within the church like salt that is remaining in the shaker when the salt is supposed to salt the whole earth. Essentially, you cannot take your salvation and be selfish with it. You must pray. You must seek God for how you will be influential, because the light must shine in darkness, even though darkness does not understand it. At times, we cower before darkness. We must ask for boldness. It is okay. We can be afraid. But God's grace is there for the asking. Oh, brothers and sisters, if the heavens hear us every morning, pray for the prosperity of our children, and we do not pray for the prosperity of the children of Jesus who are perishing day and night, their blood will be on your head. Because the hell you testify with your own tongue that you know how to pray, but you pray amiss. You pray after your own lust, not after the passion of Yahweh. If the Lord has heard you pray for your own health, and you have not spared a moment to pray that kingdom shall come, my drunken neighbor shall be healed, then you testify that you indeed know how to pray, but you pray to consume upon your own lust. You are going to read that passage for me, whichever passage I called it. Oh, Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. No, don't go there. I'm just going to say it's Peter having a conversation with Jesus. The Lord began to talk to his disciples who were already saved. And he said to himself, oh, I found, because Peter just made that great confession of Jesus, you are the rock. Who do people say that I am? And he gave the right answer. And the heart of Jesus was won. And the Lord said, perhaps I've trained 12 people who understand me. Let me discuss the deeper things of the spirit with them. I began to tell them about how he must suffer, how the world must be saved. What did Peter say? Peter was the one that wrote that song that we sing. Me, I no go. I no go. God of miracle. That was what Peter said. That, no, 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 you will not suffer. Only weak people suffer. Only powerless people suffer. Like some of our preachers today, we say, if bad thing is happening to you, it must be because you don't have faith. And then the Lord was shocked and he moved back. And he said, who remembers what the Lord said? Get away from me, Satan. Why? Who remembers that passage? Because you are what? Satan, because you are focused exclusively on the things of men, not the things that are of God. I'm giving to you the message that will bring life to the whole of creation, and you want me to live to be 100. These days, if it was not the Lord Jesus that said it, we would have called the person that said such a thing wicked. Maybe he was only being friendly. Why was he so harsh? Maybe his own God is a God of suffering. My own God is not a God of... But Jesus did not see Satan. He saw the spirit within Satan. Look, New Covenant Church. If all our organization is around our own welfare, you savourize the things that be of flesh, not of God. The watchman's message. What was that passage that we're going to read?
James chapter 5, verse 9.
Please read it.
Brethren, if any of you hear from the truth and one converts him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
We are watchmen. What Ezekiel was doing for Israel, every one of us is charged to do it. Because guess what? Ezekiel will not follow you to work. Ezekiel is dead and his bones are buried. He's waiting for resurrection. Let our prayers change a bit. When you rise in the morning, do not just pray that you will survive the day. Do not just pray that you remain in faith. Pray for the nation. Pray for your job. I bet you that's why God sent us there. We are lights. We are watchmen. Peter is gone. James is gone. Paul is gone. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Gone, 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 and gone. Behold, we are the watchmen. In our generation, as we see the wickedness, we are the watchmen. That uncle that is a drunk in your house, don't give up. Say it. If you notice, if you write Ezekiel 33, the Lord said, when you give such a warning, even if they don't listen to you, you're not responsible for the result. Just give the message. Make sure everybody in your family, there's no sin that is hidden. Be bold to say this is a sin. Romans 3:23, what does it say? You know it. We all know. We don't need to pull it up. And fall short of the glory. Romans 6:23, what does it say? The wages of sin. I want you, I mean, it used to be so simple in Christianity. When you see a smoker, we saw hell. Because that does not reflect the fruit of the Spirit. We used to be very clear about what is right and what is wrong in Christianity. And because we were clear, we were effective in evangelism. Now that we're no longer clear ourselves, we don't even know what is right or what is. How do you call people to repentance? And without repentance, there's no salvation. Although we now preach salvation without repentance. I don't know where we found that message in the Bible. When I was growing up, and that was the reason I did not become a Christian quickly. Because it was clear to me by the watchmen of my days that unless I was ready to stop drinking, stop partying, stop smoking, it was clear to me that I will not have a portion in Jesus. They make it very clear to me that Jesus is ready to save me from my sins, not save me and my sins. And by the grace of God, there was a day when the burden of my sin was heavier than the pleasure of the world. So I gave up the pleasure of the world by the grace of God. Almost now, when we tell people to become Christians, what I actually tell them to do is to please become church members. We're essentially saying, please dress up your sin with Christian garb. We'll take it because grace has covered everything. The biggest, I keep saying this, the biggest injustice to the doctrine of the cross of Jesus is the neo-Christian doctrine of grace. And I can say with all boldness, because I've experienced the grace of God and victory over sin in the name of Jesus. It's not strange. Any one of you that can truly say you are born again, you'll be able to point out when God touched your life and you are able to say, all things have passed away. Not only you will say it, even your community member will say, go and ask my old friends. They will tell you. They'll tell you, this one that we know, that wasn't the one we used to know. And God has brought this salvation to the whole world. And we're messengers. We're watchmen. But we have wars. We have souls dying. In Iran, there are souls dying. In Lebanon, there are souls dying. In Tehran, in Tel Aviv, there are souls dying. Gaza, souls dying. Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, souls dying. Bandits. These are, we just hear their statistics to us, but these are precious souls. Was it Dante or who was that historical writer that wrote Inferno or thereabout? About the death and the record of a soul is like the dropping of a coin in a coin. Tomb. Every time someone without Christ dies, tomb in hell. Tomb, 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 tomb. That's why Jesus looked upon Jerusalem and he was sad. I've danced for you, you will not, I sang for you, you will not dance. I mourned, you will not cry. Watchmen. Pray that God will make you an effective watchman. I've mentioned it. The consequence is not just so that we die and go to heaven, but we have no crowns. That's another bad doctrine, by the way. I've looked into it. I challenge all of you. Go and look at the doctrine of crowns. These people want to establish greed in heaven again. You think we're going to go to heaven and go to our jury room and be counting crowns? Sister Wura's crown has three diamonds. My own has only one. And then we start fighting in heaven again over who has more diamond in his crown. You think that's the grace of God? Crown. Oh, you have four crowns. I have three. Why? Who earned you four crowns? The same grace that gave you four, or supposedly, gives me one. You will, none of us will take credit. Only Jesus will take credit in heaven. And you know, heaven is enough for you. There is no such thing as basement in heaven. I'm not going to check into Sister Kike's mansion in heaven, and then she will see me off, and I will go into my apartment in heaven. We are all going to live gloriously like the angels. The best of us will be saved by on the merit of Jesus. The worst of us will be saved on the merit of Jesus. None of us will have our own personal merit. Me and Paul will be mates in heaven. Oh, except that he will have his name on the foundation, and I will not have made it that one. But aside from that, he will be Brother Paul. Because the grace of, he said everything. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God that works in me. Walk while there's day, for the night comes when no man will. I'm charging you that we are watchmen. Look around you, people. It's about souls. Pray that the Lord will give you. Listen, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm just saying, I'm listening to our prayers. Is there a hunger for souls? The heavens is listening to us. Yes, we have needs, but seek ye first what? The righteousness, the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and every other thing is extra. In your family, you're a watch person. For your brother that is not saved, you're a watch person. I have them in my family. They're emboldened in their drinking. And if you don't know it, you just accept it. Before you know it, you won't even want them anymore. Just give them this one. That's their life, Joe. The Lord will save you one day. But there are critical moments when the Lord will prompt you and you say, bro, you know, these things, they're iniquity before the Lord. You know, the Lord is coming. The trumpet can sound. Today is the day of salvation, bro. Today is the acceptable day, bro. Don't use alcohol to start, you know. Don't glory in your Mary. Don't. Jesus says all things, and Paul said, I count all things but dung. Strive to know the Lord and pray for them so that they will know. That's your job. Leave the result to God. Let everybody around you know that you have represented and you have been a watchman. In your social circle, on that table, as they are doing mirth and laughing, someone pray to the Lord for courage. Someone the courage. I have to tell you guys something. I remember there was a time they invited me for one, I don't know, was it a birthday party? And I went there. And they were, you know, we do the normal things. And of course, normally those of us who are ministers, they want to use us to dress the Christian agenda there. So they invite you and tell you to say the opening prayer. So just get that spiritual one out of the way. They will fit in a sermon. They can't wait for you to finish so that they will jump up their music and start the iniquity and start drinking. At least we have satisfied the part that belongs to God. Am I lying? Even you know it, Barabumi. They just can't wait for you. Do the opening prayer. Sorry. Preach the sermon and get out of our way. Because we got stuff to do around here. Okay. And I told her, look, I look around you. All I see is Hennekins and all of that. Do you know what the Bible says about drunkenness, people? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Every drunk, every adulterer will have their place in hell. And you could see how uncomfortable. This is not an easy message to preach. That's why I say you should pray first. But you know, a strange thing happened. There are some that will resent you. That's why we Christians, we watchmen, God has gone ahead of us. You must arise. After that, a few of them came to inquire. Yes. Oh, are you a pastor? I said, no, I'm not a pastor. He wasn't there. That's my pastor then. I'm just a brother. Okay, well, what you said, I actually tried to go to, said, it's not about going to church, my bro. If you die without Jesus, you're going to hell. I used to be like you. I could dance 7 bottles of Big Stout, and I was thin as a rake. People didn't know where it was going. Satan was using my life anyhow. I said, but God will save you. You will have peace. You will not spend your money on nonsense. You're going to lose all these useless friends. You see all these useless friends around you? If you don't have money, they will depart from you. Come, let me show you where you will find family in thin and thin. That's why the Bible says, for every brother you lose, he will give you multiple fold. All these ones don't like you. It's what you bring to the table that they like. They like the look of your fancy car in their parking lot, the look of your presence in their ceremony. Wait till you get, see how many of them will remain. But Jesus will never leave you. We are watchmen. We live in dangerous times. Don't hide your voice. We have the treasures of eternity. And you know what? You see, as we do it, we will also embolden one another. When I see Brother Olaoluwa, in fact, I've seen it before. I've seen places, honestly, I mean, I give you this testimony. There are places where I've gone and there's someone with me and I'm scared and I summon the courage of the Holy Spirit and I declare a word. I just decide I'm not just going to roll with this crowd today. No, maybe the last time I did, but not today. And because I did it, I saw other Christian brothers now rise up and suddenly they're emboldened. Ah, you better listen to me. What he's saying is true. Let's encourage one another to do the work of our master. Go easy. There's a reason why God sent them in twos. Let's rebuild the broken tower. Let's rebuild the glory of the church. The glory of the church was witnessing active evangelism. The church was a light. Let's not just gather without purpose. Watchmen. If we do not act as Christians and speak clearly, the Lord will demand the blood of sinners, the blood of your neighbors, the blood of your colleagues. He's going to demand it from you. Brethren, go and tell Christians that their old righteousness will not save them all. One of the biggest tricks of Satan today is to convince Jesus to... One of the biggest tricks of Satan today is to convince you, Christians, that because you've said the sinner's prayer, you're already righteous. You can live your life whatever way you want. Just don't do the obvious sins. And when the trumpet sounds, there's a mansion ready for you. It's a lie. A Christian that gets born again and repents and turns back to his old sins, when the trumpet sounds, he will not receive salvation from God. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Someone should read verse 12. Go and warn your Christian brothers and sisters to go back to fervency. Because Jesus said when he comes, it's the virgin that is ready that he will take with him. Someone, anybody that finds it should read it. They used to teach us this in Sunday school when I first got born again. in disciple classes.
Ezekiel 33:12 says, "Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins."
Read verse 18, Sister Kike, as well.
18.
Yes.
"When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die because of it."
The soul that sinneth shall die. Are those scriptures clear? Open, so I want you to go to John chapter 15 and read from verse 4. We'll close soon.
Bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me.
And we learned a few Sundays ago, what happens to the branch that is not bearing fruit? We learned it here a few weeks ago. It is what? It is cut off. The big deception, and I want this to wake up your soul, those of you who have come to trust in Jesus. Let this wake up your soul. This is part two. Remember when this does woke up your soul. Remember the fervency for righteousness. Remember that the sign that you have come to Jesus was the light in your heart, the passion you had for righteousness. Remember. Remember the things that you stopped doing. Tell your Christian friends, because this is the blight of the church today. Christians that are unchristianly, the so-called righteous that are unrighteous. Tell them that they need to abide in Jesus. Encourage one another. You see, Satan never rests. First, he wants to keep you from receiving the truth. But if he cannot stop you from receiving the truth, then he wants to corrupt the truth in you. It's the same result. If the seed cannot germinate, if you cannot keep the seed from germinating, after it germinates, then corrupt it so that it will not bear fruit. It's the same. It's still useless to the farmer. Wake your Christian. Ask, my brother, my sister, are you abiding in Jesus? Wake. Speak Bible language to them. Encourage one another with truth and righteousness, not with oblique statements. Don't let your watchfulness, in fact, when the Bible says watch and pray, the Bible was talking to Christians. Don't let it just be about unbelievers. Speak to one another. Watch the pattern. Now we don't, they say don't judge me. Why the Bible says you better judge one another so that you will not be judged. He said, when I say don't judge, I mean you. Don't judge those who are outside. But those who are inside, watch carefully so that none of us will be drawn away by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is still our enemy. Sin will still keep us from seeing Jesus. It's a doctrine from the pit of hell that says that you can be saved. So-called saved. But your life does not reflect the life of someone that is saved. Your old righteousness. You know, the doctrine of justification by the righteousness of Jesus alone is true. What it means, though, is not what they are saying it means. What it means in the Bible is that there used to be a time when people did not put their faith in Jesus for salvation. They put their faith in the laws of Moses. They denied Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul was saying, listen, now anyone, there's no other name given to us, not the laws of Moses, except Jesus. That's what it means, that justification is by righteousness, imputed righteousness of our Savior, because people were trying to get imputed righteousness from somewhere else, from the law. He was by no means saying that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is a blemished righteousness. In fact, Paul wrote in another place, if you receive grace and continue in sin, are you then saying that God is a God of sin? That God forbid. The salvation of Jesus is real. He saves us from our sins. He said, for his name shall be Jesus, because he shall deliver his people from their sins. If then we are found to be sinners after we are saved, what does that show? Oh, when the Lord was going to talk to Job, he said, who is this that darkens wisdom with the something, works of knowledge or something? We've done injustice to the doctrines of Christ. We've covered simple gospel with big, big theories, with words that mean nothing. And see what is happening today. See the times we're in. The world is laughing at church. When we were simple, when we desist from iniquity, as the Bible warned us, the world feared us. Go out and tell your Christians. Say, I know you when you were born again. Sister, it's time for us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let me bring it home. Let me tell you. And Jesus illustrated it. He said, you're neither hot nor watchmen. We're saying that lukewarm Christianity is not Christianity. Watchmen, give yourself no excuse so that you can come before the throne of judgment without blame, so that when the bridegroom comes, your garments will be white and your lamb will be burning. That's why Jesus said there are few. The doctrines of today say many we make it. The doctrine of Jesus says what? Few there are that made it. Because we are no longer watchful. We're like vocational fishermen. You know, fishermen that are not suffering. They catch fish and they let it back. What's the point? I'm going fishing. And you reel in a fish and then you throw it back. These ones are not hungry. Real fishermen, the catching of the fish is for the keep. The fish will be fluttering in the canoe or the boat, and they will make sure, because they want to take it home, there's purpose for that fish. But we catch fish, and then we let it go. When I used to play soccer with my local friends, they used to say, Amubo, you're a keeper, right? And you can't hold on to your keeper. You know, there are some keeper that will catch, they will be punching ball. No. It's a mama Amubo. Catch it and hold it, so that the striker will not get a second chance. Do we understand, brethren, as we close? The message of the watchman. New Covenant Church, I pray we will all be present. I pray that we will all have a testimony that we stood to the end. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jeremiah 7, as we round up, someone should go to Jeremiah chapter 7, let's from verse 1 and 11. Another person, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Whoever finds it first. Let's remind ourselves. The word of the Lord, I'm doing the seven. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah. I will enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in what? Do not trust in what? New Covenant Church, do not trust in what? Saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord at this. Who can tell me what that means? Translating into our days. Please translate that prophecy into our days. Someone. Do not trust in lying words in the temple of. You want me to call someone because time is far going. My sister, you want to try? Please. Yes,
there's one. Oh, okay. Maybe it means that we're chosen, so nothing is going to happen to us. Like, we're the temple, we're the temple. Yes. We can do whatever we want.
Yes, yes. Isn't that what we're hearing? Do not trust in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again. Shebi, you're born again. You're already born again. You're born again. You're born again. You're born again. Jesus is your right here. Jesus is your Omuti. Jesus is your river. Omuti. Jesus is your Omuti. You are doing all kinds of evil. You have hatred in your heart. And you are trusting in lying words. Verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doing, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and you do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your heart, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I've given to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand in church in this house, which is called my house, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? You get the voice of the prophet here. Do you understand, New Covenant Church? Amend your ways. The Christian institution cannot save you. It's the Christ, the Christian life, the power of righteousness that will save you. Nobody will ask, how many times did you pay your tithe? How many times did you go to church? Did you belong to the choir or not? In the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I come and I will judge every man according to what? Someone should read the other one, chapter 6.
Verse.
I don't know. What verse did I call it? 16, right?
Okay, verse 16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
I love this passage. We are going to close on it. Ask for the old ways where the good way is. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that. It was. Beating power. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that. I'm off key. It was. You won't think that. That's won't try. Give me that. Give me that. Give me that. Go and look for the old path, people. Some of the new stuff flying around is not the doctrine of Christ. The old path was the path of repentance and humility, of joy and of peace, selflessness and sacrifice. Go and study your Bible again. Go back to Paul. Go back to Christ. Go back to Moses. Go back to Ezekiel. See, we've been learning about some Old Testament characters here. See their attitude towards God, their fervency, their sacrifice. That is the true religion. What is this fluffy new things going around? It's good enough for here. It's not good enough when the trumpet sounds. For the heavens and the earth will pass away, but his word will not. Heed the warning of the Lord, people. Serve the Lord with trembling. Worship him in the awesomeness of his presence. Cleanse your heart, O ye sinners. Purify your mind. Go back to the basics. Whether it's in 300 AD or in 2026, sin is sin. May the Lord help us. Few there are. I pray that all of us will be there. Look, lose what the people are saying on your left or your right. It doesn't concern you. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, say he does not look at, said he sets his focus on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. No matter what anybody tells me, I always ask myself, well, what did Jesus say about it? Because people are saying a lot of strange stuff today. But keeping my eyes on Jesus has helped me to stay in the truth. What did Paul say about this? No matter what anybody says, keep your eyes on the Lord. Reclaim that intimacy with the Lord. Watchman, the message of the watchman. Why would we perish with the world? Why would we? You know that song, I've gone too far to look back. Who knows that? My feet are nearing the fountain. You don't know it, brother. I've gone I've seen. But I'm nearing the home shores. Something like the saints of God. I've gone too far to look back again. You guys are tired. One day we'll sing it. You've invested too much. Too much. Let's just shed out the extra. We said it should cut off the weights and the what? And the sins that so often what? Beset us. And we should run, what? With patience, the race that is set before us. You've gone too far. You all know the love of God. Don't let a little thing hold you back. I know that it's tiresome. I know you've pray. I know at times you are looking for that extra sign. It doesn't seem to be coming. But hold on to Jesus. He's faithful. He's more than faithful. May the Lord help us and bless us. Please, if you are here, if you have any besetting sin, as we go into prayer, I just want you in your heart to commune with the Lord. First, everything starts with repentance. Say to the Lord, yes, I'm backsliding. Yes, I've gone back. I'm like, how does the Bible call it? The mirror, the swine or something that has gone back to the mirror. Say, Lord, help me. What's that other song that says, there's one other song that talks about it. I'm going back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. Say to the Lord, it starts with repent. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. All about you, Jesus. My life, my death. Help me to make it about you so that I'll be useful for you. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've made it. I'm sorry, Lord. Don't let your Christian brothers and sisters drag you to hell. If they want to remain cold, let them go alone. Stand for Jesus. Don't subscribe to any form of Christianity that is not the old-time religion, that is not 100% Christianity. It always starts, the message of Jesus starts with repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The message of the watchman. There's no gospel without repent. Brothers and sisters, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of lukewarmness. Repent of the sins that you coddle when you clearly know what Jesus says about it. Repent of selfishness. We all have this repenting to do so that we can open our voices and be true watchmen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We go forth. You said in Ezekiel 33 that, Son of Man, your words, it's like a song before these people. I pray it will not be like that. Say, for they hear it, but they do nothing about it. Baba, help us not to be like that. I pray that your word will enter our hearts, and this week we will do something about it. Please, Lord, revive us, revive the church body. That when Christians meet Christians at work, we will recognize each other. In the name of Jesus, let our character set us apart. I pray, God, I will not shame your name again. Your word says that your name is evil spoken of because of the way we behave ourselves among the Gentiles. But I pray, Lord, that you help us, that this will no longer be seen. Help us, Lord. Help our watchmen of this generation. Open their eyes that they may speak to us words that will make us repent. Words that will prepare us for battle. Words that will be words of urgency in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that their head, there will not be blood, O Lord, required from their hands. But rather, please help them. They are mere men and women. Help them. Remove useless things from their mouth. Fill their mouth, Father, with the words that tell us about the times. That we may fear the Lord. That we may walk with Jesus. That we may know your love that passes all human understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let us rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Surely, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Praise the Lord. May the Lord go with us. Amen.